close them, take them back, turn to Matthew chapter 25 again. Matthew chapter 25, and a very interesting parable that's given to us here from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in verse number 21, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then again, verse 23, we read the same thing. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 20, A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Emphasis on the first part of that verse in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. First, faithfulness, and then the rewarding aspect of it. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. People want to abound with blessings, but they haven't met the prerequisite. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, you ought to have it memorized by now. Moreover, it is, say it with me if you can. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, ready? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I don't see every lip moving. All right, let's try that again. Ready? It's 1 Corinthians 4, 2. Ready? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, if we were in junior church or vacation Bible school, after I made the statement about mouths moving, I would have seen, if they didn't even know it, they'd have been moving their mouths. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Stewards. Stewards are those unto whom a special responsibility, usually involving finances, has been entrusted, or have been entrusted. And stewards are accountable to the one from whom they receive merchandise to watch over. In a broader sense, we are stewards of many things. We're stewards of the gospel. We're stewards of our children. We're stewards, in essence, of one another. We're stewards of the gospel ministry to share it to the lost people around us. We're stewards of that. All of us are stewards. And it is required. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The Lord expects faithfulness out of those to whom He has entrusted His treasure. That's you. That's me. God expects faithfulness out of you and me because He's entrusted to us His treasure. Accountability for the steward is based on faithfulness. Faithfulness. But I want us to understand something. Faithfulness is not just being there. Stewardship faithfulness is not static, it's active. Stewardship faithfulness is active. And we see in this story that we read this morning that the Lord rewards faithfulness. Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. But what kind of faithfulness? I call it rewarding faithfulness. Let's just pause for prayer for a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that, again, the Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts how we need Thee. Our lives are compassed about with so many things going on, busyness of schedule, and Lord, sometimes health issues and financial worries and concerns and family issues, work issues. Lord, we're bogged down many times with the cares of this world. And I pray that the service this morning would just help us to turn our hearts back to you, to focus on the main thing, our stewardship that we have from you. I pray that you'd bless the word to our hearts today. If there's someone here, and you know the heart of every person, if there's someone here that's not genuinely born again, may that one realize he or she needs to be saved, or they'd spend eternity in hell. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would minister to us. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Bless your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, it's great to see Shirley Richards being able to be back out to church. God bless you. Amen. Chris, thank you for making sure that she's here. We appreciate that. And others that have been gone, we're glad to see you too. And Bob, thank you for telling me you're glad to see me too. I said something about nobody tells me they're glad to see me, so someone has been making sure, not Bob, but other people have been making sure to tell me, hey, I'm glad to see you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Rewarding faithfulness. Rewarding faithfulness. I would think of rewarding faithfulness in two ways. A faithfulness that is rewarding and a faithfulness that is rewarded. Bailey, I'm glad to see you made it. All right. He called me earlier, wasn't sure if the bus was coming by, but he's here. By the way, I notice who's here, amen? I do notice. And if I feel led, I might just ask the next person to do a testimony. Let's see, who am I looking at? Rewarding faithfulness. Both faithfulness is rewarding, and God rewards faithfulness. Rewarding faithfulness. And our story is a parable. Let's look at that parable this morning that the Lord gives us here in Matthew chapter 25. The Lord told what's called here the parable of the talents. That's what it's called, the parable of the talents. A parable. What's a parable? A parable is, the word means placing one thing by the side of another. That's what the word parable means. Putting one thing next to another. As of ships in a battle, side by side. It's used in the idea of comparing, taking one thing and comparing it to something else, a parable. Comparison of one with another, giving a likeness or a similarity between the two, making a comparison. With parables, an illustration or a story is placed beside a truth. Parable, placed next to. A story or an illustration is placed beside a truth for a comparison, to shed light on the truth. The emphasis isn't on what's used to compare. The emphasis is on the truth to which it's being compared. Some people get lost in the comparison and forget that to which it's being compared. And so this parable here is used to compare a truth. And it's not a truth about talents. A parable is a use of a human story to shed light on divine truth. Someone has put it very short, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable. The use of a human story to shed light on a divine truth. You know, we use parables when we teach children a lot. When we teach others, we use parables or illustrations. The first thing I want to notice about this parable is that it is not a parable about talents. I've heard it preached. You know, God's given you many talents, so use them. And the word talent used to mean abilities. That's not really what it's about. It's known as the parable of talents, but the truth being illustrated, listen to me, is the truth pertaining to stewardship. The parable about the talents is put beside the truth concerning stewardship. And moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. In this parable, the Lord illustrates what kind of faithfulness in stewardship is required. On the surface, all three would seem to be faithful to a degree. But yet this story illustrates, with two out of three, the kind of faithfulness that God rewards. It's a parable of stewardship. The talents in the story refer to the money that the owner had. We see that if you notice down in verse number 18, it says, but he had received one, went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's what? Money. Okay. So it's a parable about money, or a parable that uses money, to illustrate stewardship. The talent is the money that the owner had. By the way, a talent of silver for the Israelites at this time may have been about 100 pounds of silver. A talent of gold, I've read, would be about 200 pounds of gold. But they mostly traded with silver, so we'll talk about silver. I think that's probably what it's referring to here. Money, talents of silver. So the owner was going to go on a journey, and he delivered his goods, it tells us, in verse number 14. And in verse number 18, we see those goods referred to money that he had. The owner delivered his goods, which in this case was the total, about 800 pounds of silver, divided up between three different servants. We could use 800 pounds of silver today, couldn't we? And wait for it to be inflated again in its price. To one servant, we read, where he committed the stewardship of five talents. Again, probably of silver. 500 pounds of silver. And back in then, those days, they were a lot stronger. He just probably picked it up and carried it, right? To another servant, we read that he committed the stewardship of two talents, probably of silver, about 200 pounds of silver. To the last servant, he committed the stewardship of one talent, again, probably of silver, about 100 pounds of silver, to the one talent. And they became stewards of talents of his money. Stewards of 100-pound settings of his money. Stewards of his talents. Stewards of his money. He was going away and he entrusted three people with the stewardship of his valuable possession. By the way, money is not evil. Amen? If you think it's really bad, give me what you have. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, not money itself. There were many people in the Bible that were very wealthy. Abraham was very wealthy. Job was very wealthy. And then after his trial, God doubled his wealth. Right? So being wealthy is not wrong. Loving money leads one to do wrong things, make wrong choices, have misplaced values, right? But having money is not evil. And so don't ever get caught up in that. God doesn't hate the rich. It's hard for rich people to get saved because they feel their needs are met in what they have attained, and who needs God, right? Whereas poor people see their need and are more likely to look to one to save them. Jesus said it was hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, not because he was rich, but because he trusts in his riches. And so here the owner is leaving to go on a trip, and he says, I've got 800 pounds of silver. I want to be tended. So let's look at the servants here quickly. The servants. We notice that they were trusted, if you'd notice in verse 15 with me, unto one he gave five talents, unto another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability and straightway took his journey. The servants were entrusted according to ability. To ability. You know, the owner here for whom these people served, the owner knew the servants. You know, you get to know people that work for you pretty good and what they can and can't do, right? Somebody said you give a busy person a job and they'll get it done. You give a person a job that doesn't do much and they probably won't do much with the job either. And, you know, the truth of the matter is the owner here was cognizant of these people, which reminds us, of course, that God knows us. Okay? He knows what you can and can't do. We are where we are and have what we have to work with because God knows our several ability. Several meaning each one's own ability. And so the servants were entrusted according to their ability. Don't get mad at the landowner for what he's entrusted to you. Say, okay, God, thank you that you've entrusted this to me. And so I know that you must believe that I have the ability to take care of it. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are what? Able. But will with temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So God knows each one of us. Why do some people experience some things that others don't in the Christian life? Well, God knows our several ability. The servants were entrusted according to ability, but I want you to notice something else. They were accountable according to expectation, not their expectation, the expectation of the owner. There came a day of reckoning. If you notice in verse number 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and what? Reckoneth with them. And so there was an expected accountability for those servants. And let me just interject an understanding for us is that God expects us to do something with what He's given us, and there is a day of reckoning. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive. That everyone. And so here, the servants were entrusted according to their ability and accountable according to their expectation. I want you to notice this. The owner wanted his money. We see through the reading this whole passage. The owner wanted his money not just to be guarded. The owner wanted his money to be put to work for him as if when he was there, and he wanted it to bring a return. My word shall not return unto me void, but will accomplish the purpose that I please. God has a purpose. God's looking for a return with what he does. They were accountable according to that expectation. The owner wanted his money to be not just guarded, but put to work for him. So let's think about these servants. The next thing here is the idea of the condemned servant. We'll look at him first. There was one servant that was condemned for his stewardship. On the surface, if you notice in verse number 24, then he which had received the one talent came, or let me back up, excuse me, go back up to verse number 18. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. I battled with that for a while. years ago when I studied this passage, because I thought to myself, well, he guarded that money. He didn't lose any of it, right? He guarded it. I mean, he took that money and he went and he hid it and he guarded it so nobody else could get it. And then when the owner came back, he gave it back to him. Now that would seem like being faithful, wouldn't it? Really? He guarded it, gave it back. But it wasn't faithful according to the expectation for stewardship. See, just having something, just going through emotion, doesn't make us faithful. But putting to use what has been entrusted us to gain for the glory of God is being faithful with a stewardship. One of the servants here, he was condemned. You notice then down at verse number 24, so he just took and hid it there. But verse 24, he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed, blah, 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 blah. Wah, 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 wah. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed and gathered, sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. The first thing about him is that he had no return on the talent. He returned the talent, but had no return on the talent. He didn't put it to use. He hid it. He shrouded it. Guarded it, yes. Protected it, yes. But did not use it. And we see about him that he had faulty reasoning. You know, my dad used to say, and why he would ever say it to me, I never have understood. But my dad used to say that an excuse is nothing but the onion skin of a reason packed with a lie. Now, he must have said that to my brothers, and I overheard it, right? People have excuses why they don't do what they're expected to do with their stewardship. And his first is that of faulty reasoning. He said, well, you know, I knew that you're a hard man and, you know, boy, you expect a lot. And you can reap where you haven't sown. I mean, you're able to make things happen. And so he used faulty reason, said, you can do it, but I can't do it. So I'll excuse myself and I'll just hide it and I'll give it back to him. He'll accept that because that's my reasoning. We have a generation today that thinks God is under some type of obligation to accept them because they're wonderful and they've come to worship. No, God accepts what he expects. And he expects us to use what he's given us for his glory, not ours. Faulty reasoning. People with all kinds of faulty reason. Well, you know what? I know I ought to be in church, but, you know, I just can't live up to it all, so I'm going to hide it in the dirt. You know, I know I ought to witness. I'm not sure I can witness like I should, so I'm just going to keep it in my pocket, the tract. You know. Faulty reasoning. Lord, you're a hard guy to deal with. You can make things happen. And so I was kind of scared to do anything with it. The second thing is that he had controlling emotions in verse number 25, and I was afraid. Controlling emotions, emotions that controlled him. You know, the Christian life is not to be guided by our emotions. I did not feel like getting up this morning until I was pushed out on the bed on the floor. No. I didn't feel like getting up. My back hurts. Amen. Would you just say an awe for me? Thank you. It made me feel a lot better. Do you think that every Sunday the pastor is just on top of everything in his whole world and he bounds into church on Sunday just floating in the glorious realm of heavenly sunshine? No. I don't get bogged down in moonshine either, but heavenly sunshine. You know what? We have the emotions that bother us just like everybody. We have the concerns, the worries, the schedule, the frustrations that everybody has. And we have to rise above the emotions. Listen, in the Christian life, we have to rise above the emotions and let the principles guide what we do. But he had controlling emotions. I was afraid. As if the Lord said, oh, I understand you are afraid to go to church. I understand you are afraid to witness. I understand you are afraid to give the tithe. I understand. No problem. I'm understanding. No. The Lord had expectations of the steward. But he did have correct knowledge. In verse 26, the Lord says to him, you said, you know that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not known. He did have correct knowledge about the Lord. Folks, you better act on the knowledge you have. Amen? He did not. And then I want to look at the rewarded quickly. The rewarded servants quickly. Two of the servant stewards. There were servants who not only just did what they were told, but then they were committed a responsibility, a stewardship. Two of the servant stewards were rewarded. Let's look at verses 20 through 23 again. And he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. So he had now 10 talents, 1,000 pounds of silver. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, and behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. He understood the expectations of the master with his stewardship. And verse number 21, he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Why him 2 and the other 5? He gave them according to their several ability. What each could handle. And I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, you did pretty good. You only got 2. The other guy got 5. He didn't say that. He entrusted him what he knew he could handle. And he did with what he had been entrusted what the Lord expected him to do. And he said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Same recognition as the other. Enter thou into the joy. Got ahead of myself there. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So these servant stewards were rewarded. First of all, notice about them, they accepted responsibility. They accepted responsibility. You know, that is a major key to doing what you should do. Shirking responsibility does not bring reward. It's not rewarding stewardship. We have to look at responsibility. If you have children, you have a stewardship. If you're saved, you have stewardships. If you work with someone that's lost, you have a stewardship. If you have a neighbor, you have a stewardship. If you're part of a family that doesn't know Christ, you have a stewardship. And these two stewards accepted their responsibility. The Lord gave them talents of silver, and they said, you know, I understand that he wants me to do something with this silver and make him a prophet. They accepted responsibility. Secondly, they actively engaged. They actively engaged. They got busy. Notice what the Lord said both times in verse number 21. And the Lord said unto him, well, what? Done. And in verse number 23, well, what? Done. There was some doing involved. And it was well done. The doing involved, the acceptance or the being actively engaged in doing something with what was entrusted to them. To take it and take it to a financier and say, here is 100 pounds of silver and I want you to use it and gain money on it. And when it was all done, the 2 gained 2 and the 5 gained 5. And so, you know, the multiplying of the Lord's goods here by the doing, the action, the engagement of the stewards. Somebody said we have to put foots to our prayers. Lord, save the lost. And there's one I just talked to and I didn't even give him a tract. Well, let's take the talent and put it to use. Amen. Actively engaged, Jesus said, well done, the servant or the master did. And then notice something about them is that they added amounts. They added amounts. They took what they had and they used it and it gained. I preached a few Sunday nights ago, about the analogy between what God told his new creatures to do in Genesis. They were to multiply, right? And then the new creatures in Christ, he told us to go out and reconcile the world through basically evangelism, to multiply. God didn't say, I'm going to put this 4 and no more on. He said, I want this 4 to multiply. And the 11 disciples that were left after Judas hung himself, God expected them to multiply. It's a stewardship. I've given you something. And I want you to take what I've given you to watch over for me, and I want you to use it so that it multiplies. And they did, and it added amounts. The 5 gained 5, the 2 gained 2, according to their several abilities. They multiplied. Faithfulness was not just to return the talents safely to the master. Faithfulness was to gain a return along with the talents. That's what faithfulness was. Faithfulness isn't for us just to say, I have the Bible. I have the truth of salvation. I have Christ in my heart. Faithfulness is for us to say, I have the gospel. I have salvation, and God expects me to take it and use it for his glory, that it might gain according to the ability that he's given me. The owner was looking for a return. The type of faithfulness that is a rewarding faithfulness is that it takes what's entrusted and uses it to its fullest extent. And then we see what rewarding faithfulness is. A faithful steward uses what is entrusted in a way, listen now, to gain for the master. They weren't gaining for themselves at that point. They were gaining for the master. A faithful steward uses what is entrusted, listen now, to bring more glory and honor unto the master. Whose talents were they, folks? The master's, weren't they? The talents were amounts of money. They were the master's talents. And the faithful servants took the master's talents and they put them and they engaged them actively and they brought returns and they were praised and rewarded for it. Now let's look at rewarding faithfulness for just a moment. We see the Lord here rewarding faithfulness. First, with increased responsibility. Look at what he says in verse number 23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over what?" So we see increased responsibility as a rewarding aspect of their faithfulness. Boy, I wish I could do more for the Lord. Do everything you can with the talent that He's put in your hands to use, and then let the Lord examine what you've done and determine if you can be given more. Amen? If it's just one, if it's two, if it's five, use them. We see the Lord rewarding faithfulness with increased responsibility for the two. And then experienced joy. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. They got to have a special realm of fellowship they hadn't had. The joy of the Lord. It's rewarding to be faithful. Amen? It's rewarding to know that you've done what you could do for the Lord with what He's given you to do. It's rewarding to hear Him say, "Well done." It's rewarding to experience the joy that comes in one's heart knowing that they're doing what the Lord wants them to do. I'll guarantee the Christians that are faithful to be in the house of God and faithful to read their Bible and faithful to try to witness, I'll guarantee they're more joyous in their heart than those who don't. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then even added reward. The Lord took the one talent from the disobedient one, the unfaithful one, and gave it to the one that gained five. Added reward. Added reward. Rewarding faithfulness with increased responsibility, experienced joy, and added reward. You know, the Bible says, and I quoted it earlier in the beginning of my message, a faithful man shall what? Abound with blessings. Abound. And so as we're faithful with what God gives us, God says, you know what? I'm going to increase your responsibility. I'm going to give you more joy. And I'm even going to add to your blessings. The Lord rewarded their faithfulness, and their faithfulness made their lives more rewarding. It was rewarding faithfulness, both rewarded by the God, but rewarding for their own lives. Interesting thing that I read is when Nehemiah had led the remnant to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. You have Ezra that came back after Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple, and Ezra come back and leads them in temple stuff, and then Nehemiah comes back to the remnant and helps them rebuild the wall. And after they rebuilt the wall, Nehemiah helped them to establish their spiritual service there. And listen to what he said, Nehemiah 13:13. "And I made treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah, the priest, Zadok, the scribe of the Levites, Pedaiah, and next unto him was Hanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah." Forget about those names. But listen to this. I'll jump the names real quick. "I made treasurers over the treasuries," these people, "for they were counted faithful. And their office was to distribute to their brethren." They were counted faithful. And because they'd been faithful over a little, they were given more responsibility. That's the way that the Lord does for us as we serve Him. Those who were counted faithful were given increased responsibility in Nehemiah's day. They had a rewarding faithfulness in that it was a faithfulness that was seen as reward-worthy and a faithfulness that became rewarding to them, giving them increased responsibility for the Lord. Now let's go back to the condemned for just a minute. Verse number 26 in your Bible, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 26. Let's look back at the condemned for just a second. And the Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant. Remember what he did? He just hid it and didn't use it. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I've sowed not and gather where I've not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. And he's just talking about modest gain on money there. The word there used doesn't necessarily imply unjust gain, but modest gain on the money. Therefore take the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, but he shall have abundance, abundant blessing for faithful stewardship. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We have the condemned here. 2 things. Number one, he did not use that which was entrusted to him. He didn't use it. He hid it. He had his reasons. He had his fears. But he didn't use it. And he was called wicked and slothful, lazy and lousy. He didn't use it. And he lost it all. It was never his, right? It was his master's. But the master expected him to take it and to use it and to gain, and he'd have been a faithful steward. But he didn't use it. He just set it there and buried it in the ground and ended up losing it all. And it's a picture. It's a picture of salvation. If you could make the picture, every one of these had a talent given, a treasure given, at least one. And then they had extras beside. The other two had extra beside. This one just had the one. And it's like the picture of salvation in that if the application here is that if one does not let the gospel bring forth fruit in his life, he loses it all. There are people that God has entrusted the knowledge of salvation to, and they've taken that knowledge and they've buried it in the earth. Buried it maybe in their heart somewhere and not done anything with it. Listen, salvation only brings fruit if the person who hears about it puts their trust in the Savior. Amen? A lot of people, well, Lord, you know, I didn't quite understand. I know that you're tough, and I was afraid, and so I didn't do anything with salvation. And if a person hears about salvation but doesn't do anything with it, they still spend eternity in hell. If one doesn't let the gospel bring forth fruit, he loses all. Notice, if you would, in the verse number 30, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, there's a lot of people around the world, but especially in America in our days, who've heard the gospel and haven't done anything with it. And that truth has been entrusted to them for them to do something with it, to let it bring forth fruit in their life, and they haven't. There will be a lot of people that will spend eternity in the lake of fire having heard and understood the gospel. But they buried it. They buried it. Now let's think about rewarding stewardship again. I want to encourage you to do something first with the gospel. Amen? If you're not saved, do something with that. I love the songwriter that said, "Oh, I never shall forget the day when Jesus washed my sins away." Do something with the gospel. And I think you could say in this picture, every one of them had that one talent. One did nothing with it. But then something else, as we think about our stewardship as Christians, having heard the gospel and having put our faith in Christ, I want to tell you, do something with your stewardship. If it's a neighbor that you can share the gospel with, if it's a family member, if it's means that God has given you to use to invest in a spiritual way, use it. Take the treasure that God has entrusted to you, your children, your opportunity for service. Take it. Don't bury it. Use it. God knows your ability. Use it. Do something with your stewardship. And then what will happen? You'll experience rewarding faithfulness. You'll experience rewarding faithfulness. You'll hear, "Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. I've entrusted something to you. You didn't bury it. You used it, and it gained some 30-fold, some 60-fold. It gained." And you know, what you do for the Lord, really, the gain is up to the Lord. But the use of it is under your control. Well done. Experience rewarding faithfulness. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. May we hear that. Amen. What's in front of you today? Parents, with kids at home, it's your children. Kids in school, believe me, there will be a day when you will wish you had shared what you knew about salvation with some people that you go to school with. People you work with, your neighbors. Don't hide it, amen? Take it and say, "Okay, Lord, you've given me this and I'm going to invest it. And Lord, you give the increase, but I'm going to use what you've given me." The parable of the stewardship. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word this morning. I pray that you'd use it in our lives. May we be challenged. I mean, you know our abilities. And you have expectations of us. Help us to not bow to our emotions or excuses. Help us to accept our responsibilities and do what we can with what you've given us, trusting you to bring results. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd minister to our hearts and challenge us to have a rewarding faithfulness, both that you can reward and that we will experience rewarding blessings because of our faithfulness. Help us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning, and I wonder who would say, "Preacher, you know what? I'm kind of been faithful, just kind of sitting on some things. But I need to delve into the realm of activity and use what you've given, what the Lord's given me." So pray for me. I'm thinking about something maybe in my own life. Pray for me that God would help me to be a faithful steward of what he's entrusted to me. Who'd slip up their hand this morning? Amen, 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 amen. whatever it is on your mind right now, you commit that to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to invest that, invest in that, so that you are glorified. And Lord, thank you that that'll be rewarding to me as well. Whatever that is you're thinking about, talk to the Lord about it right now. I wonder if there's anyone here who would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I've heard about being saved. I've heard that Jesus died. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose again, but I've never personally turned to him as a sinner and said, God, save me. I'm on my way to hell, but I believe you died for me. Please come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. I trust you as my Savior. Give me the gift of eternal life. You've never personally called on the Lord, but today you're going to take that and use it that it might bring forth fruit in your life. Who'd slip up their hand and say, Preacher, I need Christ as my Savior. Anybody today? Anybody today? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd use your word in our lives. And even as we sing an invitation song, may we in our hearts be yielded to fulfill your expectations with what you've given us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand together, please?